everybody, and welcome back to another edition of the AK Show with your boy AK the Ref. How was everybody doing this week? I hope everybody's having a great week so far. When this drops, it will be Wednesday, so I hope you're having a happy hump day if you're listening to this on Wednesday, because, you know, I try to get this recorded at least the night before, so right now it's Tuesday night. I'm in the car recording. I was going to do it earlier today, but I didn't have no time, so I'm getting it done today. This will drop tomorrow evening. Maybe I might release it in the afternoon, early afternoon, early evening. But we are here. Congratulations for being here. We here. We almost did a weekend. Let's go. But yeah, oh man, I'm tired. I ain't gonna lie, man. Basketball season is killer. Middle school basketball. I coach middle school basketball. Had a game Monday. It was yesterday. It feels like forever and a day ago. Had practice today. Did the middle school basketball team. Went to the high school to get recognized. Went there. And came back home. Picked up my daughter. Came back home. Ate and just had to just kind of unwind. Decompress a little bit. Got a game tomorrow on Wednesday. So, you know, it's just basketball. We've had back-to-back games like multiple weeks in a row because we've had snow days here in Kansas City, and we've had a couple snowed-out games. Well, one wasn't even snowed out. It was because we hadn't had any practices yet because we had all the snow days. So they had to push the games back. So, like, the last 2 weeks before this week started, we had, like, back-to-back games. And these games are long because we play three games because we have A team, B team, and a C team. A team plays first, and like the A team's the only one that can play in the tournament at the end of the season, but we have like three teams. It's the A team's like the varsity, the B team's like the JV, and the C team is like freshman sophomore team if you're comparing it to high school. But yeah, got a game tomorrow, and these games like last 3 hours. The first game starts at 5, you know, and it was just three coaches, and I coach the B team, but we all help out. And the head coach coaches the A team, but we're there for all three games and start at 5, and they'll get over to like 8:30. It's long, long as game days is long, but it's fun. It's cool. We've got about three more games left, and then the tournament starts. And like I said, the tournament's only for the A team. So hopefully we can get state this year. Not state, but hopefully we can win the championship in our league. Against the other middle schools, I think we could do it right now. Eight teams, 2-3, but let's win these next three last games and be 5-3 to finish the season, finish strong, go into the tournament. Let's kick some butt, kick some ass, and win the whole damn thing. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I'm just tired, but I'm here. We here. You know what it is. You see the hat. You see the cheese logo, bro. It's Super Bowl week. Oh, bro. Super Bowl week, bro. I'm hype. No, I am hype. It's not. My anxiety level ain't there yet, but it will be there, you know. Come Friday, it will be there. Because, like I said, like, I don't even have time to think. Like, I watched some of opening night last night when they had it for the Super Bowl media. I was at the games. And so I got home and I just like checked on Twitter and certain comments. And then the wife was watching and she was showing me certain parts of it. But like, yeah, by the time Friday gets here and I'm like able just to process that Super Bowl being like 2 days when it reaches Friday, then my anxiety will be through the roof. Like it will be through the roof. That's how it was the other three playoff games. It was like through the roof. Well, maybe not with the Dolphins game, because I was worried more about the cold. How am I going to stay warm? But plus, I don't know if I said this before, but I've like had a part time job with the Chiefs this season on game days, helping be a part as a stagehand and part of the pyro crew, and we'd help get the carts out there. So like when it was home Chiefs games, I really didn't even think, like, how should I put it? Like, I never stressed about the home games because my mind was like, gotta get to work, because we always had to be there like 6 hours, 5 hours before kickoff, get everything set, test everything out, get it pushed to the field, take a break, come back like an hour before kickoff, and then we're down there waiting till players do the entrances. Once they come through, last person comes through, they shoot the rest of the pyro off, we gotta go move the cart. So it's like, at home games, I was never really stressed out in terms of like the game itself, whether we win or not. I was just more like afterward, I'd get to my seat and I'd just sit there. Like, we'd get done by probably towards the end of the first quarter, like literally 2-3 minutes left in the first quarter. By the time I get to my seat, and I'm like tired because these carts are heavy. We have to push them up a hill after, full of tanks. Had to push them up a hill. So I was like, by the time I get to my seat, it's like, I just got to decompress. And I'm sitting there watching the game, but I'm like looking. I'm like, oh, yeah. If something bad happens, I'm like, oh, if something good happens, I'm like, I don't get into the game until about the start of the fourth quarter when I'm finally able to just decompress and be like, okay, what's the score? Oh, shit. This is close of a game. Like, I'm just sitting there in my seat. I'm just, like, trying to, like, decompress. I'm like, I'm there, but I'm not there until about the fourth quarter. So, like, with the home games, like, I never felt that stress. So, even with the Dolphins game, because I worked the Dolphins game, stay there. But we had club-level tickets. If you've been to Arrowhead, like, the club level's enclosed. Like, the seats are outside, but you can go inside and get warm. So, I think that helped. But, like, I wasn't really nervous about the Dolphins game because it was cold. I was working it. I didn't really get a chance to get in. Like I said, like I didn't really feel like I got a chance to get into the game until like the fourth quarter of home games this year. But like the Buffalo game, my anxiety started spiking Friday. Saturday was just through the roof. Sunday before, like probably an hour before kickoff, I can't do this. Just hurry up and get to the game. And we played the late game, and I was like, oh, my God. No. And then we won. I was like, yes. And then nothing all week. Friday gets Saturday. I watched the Royal Rumble, so my anxiety went down because I was able to take my mind off it. Sunday got there. Pacing back and forth. Especially, like, we got down to that, like, 20 minutes before kickoff. Pacing back and forth. Pacing back and forth. So, yeah. My anxiety will hit Friday. I'm starting to get, like, a little hype for it. But, like, that anxiety level, like, I just want the team to win. It will hit, like, Friday. Saturday, it will be through the roof. Sunday, it will go down because I'll be getting ready for the party. Because we're having a party. You know, I'll be grilling all morning and getting ready. But That shit will settle in about noonish. It will spike, and I'll just be pacing back and forth until kickoff happens, and then it'll be the normal roller coaster ride of a fucking football game. You know what I'm saying? But we here, Super Bowl week, and like I said, I'm gonna do a episode probably Friday or Saturday, probably Saturday morning. I'll record it Saturday morning. At least that shit's Saturday afternoon. Nothing too fancy, nothing too long. Quick rundown of, like, just breaking down, like, what each team needs to do to win and then give my final prediction and score and things like that. Something simple, just break down. Maybe get 5 things each team needs to do to win. You know, something like that. Who I think is going to win in the final score. But that'll be here on Saturday, special edition, Super Bowl edition of the AK show. On Saturday, but let's get into today's show. If you didn't notice, the Royal Rumble, if you watch wrestling, I mean, if you're listening to this, you must watch wrestling or have an interest in it too, because, you know, we talk about wrestling on here. I want to talk about sports entertainment, and to me, pro wrestling is part of the sports and entertainment world, so, but on here, we're going to talk about wrestling, too. But the Royal Rumble was a few weeks ago, on the 27th, I believe, of January, because we're in February now. And last week, I wanted to get into the Royal Rumble But I was breaking down the NFC and AFC championship games, and so I didn't want to run long and have like a longer show than usual. So I was like, nope, we'll get the Royal Rumble in today, and then we'll do a Super Bowl edition on Saturday, so it's all good. So yes, the Royal Rumble, like I said, it was January 27th. Now, I must say, like, I didn't even realize it was the Royal Rumble until that day. And when I found that out, I was like, oh, hell yeah, I'm going to fucking sit down and watch this. I'm going to watch the Rumble. It's always like, I don't watch too much wrestling just because I don't have time to watch a lot of stuff. And because I'm just busy, especially when I'm coaching. In the fall, I was coaching football, and now started basketball in January. And so, like, when I get busy, and then if I'm going to wrestling shows, or I gotta take my daughter to ballet, or I gotta do this, you just stay busy. It's like, I don't get a lot of time to watch wrestling. You know, I do watch some other TV shows when I can, but, like, I keep track of what's going on storyline-wise. You know, I'll see on Twitter, what happened on Raw? I see some scroll, I'm like, oh, what happened on Raw? Let me look into that. Okay, that's cool. But, like, yeah, so I didn't realize the Royal Rumble was that day. Like, I knew it was coming up, but I think I might have seen it that week that it was coming up, but I was like, yeah. But on Saturday, the 27th, we were doing some stuff. I think we went to the mall. We went out shopping or something. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go home and watch the Royal Rumble. I was like, I told the wife, I get back to the house, I'm watching the Rumble. You know, I'm going to just sit down, I'm going to watch this four-hour event. Because it's the Royal Rumble. It's like, it's one of my favorite wrestling pay-per-views to watch. Because the Rumble itself. Because, you know, when the Rumble starts, when we get to the Rumble, that's officially WrestleMania season, because Road to WrestleMania starts when the Royal Rumble starts. You know, when we get the Rumble, you know, when that, the Royal Rumble starts, it's the Road to WrestleMania begins then, I think. I may be wrong, but that's just my opinion. Rumble starts, boom, we on. But yeah, so that was nice to have that getaway. I'm not thinking about the AFC Championship the next day. But, yeah, like I said, I knew it was on that night. I was like, I'm watching it. I didn't even have Peacock. I got it. I spent the $5 on the standard version with the ads. I'm not paying premium. I don't need to. I can live through the ads. But I was like, I'm going to get Peacock. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to take it upstairs, watch it on the projector, because I had the projector out for the playoff games. I have it for the Super Bowl. So I was like, I'm going to watch it. Got the surround sound on. I'm going to sit on the couch. I'm gonna eat some food. You know, I'm gonna drink my ginger ale. Yeah, I'm drinking not alcohol right now. By the way, I'm coming up on week 13 of no alcohol, but that's not to brag. But yeah, just sit there and enjoy it, man. Turn the lights off. Had like projected like a movie. It was great, man. I was excited. I didn't know what to expect, man. And I just watched it as a fan. Like, even when the two matches that are normal, that was normal in terms of, like, it wasn't a Rumble match. It was a match that you had to win by a pinfall. Like, usually when I watch those type of matches, I was always focusing on the referee. I don't think once I even focused on the referee in the KO Logan Paul match or the Fatal 4-Way. So, I was just watching. I'm going to let myself get lost and take my mind off of things and enjoy the Rumble. So, I just want to get into it, like, from start to finish, what my thoughts were on the Royal Rumble. And I will say, like, I'll say it now, overall, I fucking enjoyed the hell out of the fucking Royal Rumble. Top to bottom. Like, I don't think it was anything bad about it at all. Like, I mean, I'll give my final grade when I'm done talking about it, but I just enjoyed it. It was refreshing. I'm not going to lie. Like, I enjoyed it. So, I'll start off. Like, I'm going to start off. We just go through it. We're just going to run it down, right? So, we started off with the Women's Royal Rumble, right? We're going to start the night off. Start the night off with the Royal Rumble, Women's Royal Rumble. We start off with Natalya and Naomi returning back to WWE from TNA. So, I'm not going to go through the whole Rumble match itself. I just want to highlight some things that stood out to me that I very much enjoyed. And if I had to say, like, if I had to pick one match from the entire night out of all four matches, it'd been the Women's Royal Rumble that stands out the most. That was probably the best. But Naomi returning was great. The surprise in the Women's Royal Rumble was Jordynne Grace, TNA Knockouts Champion. Now, this was the fucking thing that, like, bro, it had me confused for a moment. Like I said, like, I try to keep up with what's going on in wrestling. I don't watch it fully like I used to, but I keep up. If there's, like, a certain match that somebody says, hey, you need to go watch that, like, or a referee you should watch, like, I'll watch, like, in that turn of, like, let me study these referees and see what I can pick up or see what they're doing that maybe I can work on or add to my repertoire refereeing. But, like, when she showed up, I'm thinking, like, huh, she knew signing to WWE, and then she had this belt on. I was like, hold on, wait a minute. Isn't she, what belt is that? Like, I didn't notice what belt that was. I was like, I was confused. I was like, wait a minute, did she just sign with WWE? I thought she was in TNA. And then I had to Google it. I was like, wait, isn't she, like, the champ? Like, yeah, she's a knockout champ. I was like, in my head, like, it took me a good 20 seconds to figure out what the fuck was going on with this whole why she was there. And then I had to remember, I had read a few weeks ago that maybe it was even longer than that. Like I said, my brain is all over the place. I had read a while ago that, oh, there was a partnership with WWE and TNA. And I was like, oh, now that makes sense. Okay, now I put it all together. Because I'm thinking she showed up, she signed, but then she had this belt on. I'm like, why she had this belt? But duh, she's a TNA Knockout Women's Champion, and WWE and TNA have a working agreement. Which I must say, I'm all here for that. I'm all here for wrestling promotions working together in unison. Like, I get, like, you're not going to have WWE and AEW work together because they're, like, two of the top companies in this business. And so they're not going to work together. But if you have, like, some the companies that may be below them working together, that's the type of shit I like to see. Because TNA had one time with AEW. Now they're working with WWE. I remember WWF back in, it was the late 90s, when had ECW come to Raw. And I just think, like, shit like that is just awesome, and I love when they do it, because it's just going to get more eyeballs on TNA and help them grow. And I mean, you want to keep all the promotions strong, like, especially the good ones. I'm not talking about, like, the bad ones, but I'm just talking about, like, it's going to help TNA. And so, like, when she came out, like, I was like, damn, that was cold. And my, like, whole reaction was like, okay, she's coming out here. What is it going to be like? Is she going to get like a moment and then get eliminated easily and just kind of like move off and like, oh yeah, she was there and she had one moment and then got eliminated. I was surprised that she showed up. And then the other thing that surprised me was how long she lasted. And even getting some eliminations and looking strong over other wrestlers that were in WWE, I was like, damn. But I'm here for it. Because you know what that's going to do? That's going to increase their working relationship with each other. Because now they're going to there's that trust and knowing, like, oh, we send somebody over there, they're just not automatically going to get buried. They're going to go in there and they're going to be able to do something and look strong. So when they come back here, they're going to be like, Now we cooking, right? So there's that trust factor. So, like, WWE can send somebody to TNA knowing that, like, hey, we're going to work together. We're going to make sure this person looks strong still. But, you know, there's that thing, because you can't just make it, can't bury the person. You can't make them over the people that you have. So, but what's that going to do? That's going to increase Jordynne Grace's, is I can't look what the fucking word I'm looking for, but that's going to increase her presence, her statue at TNA when she goes back there as the Knockout Women's Champion, right? She's going to go there. Now, she's up here, and she's like, I'm on top. Now who's going to come for me? But that's also going to help whoever eventually beats her, whenever that may be, whether it's a year or two from now. Whoever eventually takes the title off of her, that's going to elevate. That's the word I'm looking for. Elevated Jordynne Grace. So when she goes to TNA, she's elevated here. And now she's just going to roll. It elevates TNA because now people saw that in WWE at the Royal Rumble. They're going to be like, if they're impressed with Jordynne Grace, because I was very impressed. And she has a phenomenal physique. So people impressed with that, and they're going to be like, oh, I'm going to go watch some TNA and see what's up over there. Because I tell you, TNA's popping. I mean, I've done extra work, and I've seen it firsthand with TNA. I've done extra work with them a few times, and I've seen it firsthand. They're over there doing their thing. And TNA just been around for a long time. They just keep grinding, man. And now they got this working relationship with WWE. I mean, they're going to get eyeballs over there on them. Especially if WWE sends, you know, a worker over there to go work a TNA event. Bro, I'm telling you, it's going to be popping. But like I said, that's going to elevate Jordynne Grace. And then eventually, because she can use that whole moniker that I was in the Royal Rumble. I lasted this long. I eliminated somebody. Who's going to fuck with me, right? And then whoever takes the title off her is going to elevate them. And it's just building upon building. You know what I'm saying? So that right there was very surprising, but I was all here for it. I was all here for it. That was like my surprise moment in the Women's Royal Rumble. You know, you had Jade Cargill making her debut at the Royal Rumble. And God, what are they like made out of, like statue stone? Like these people with physiques like Jade Cargill and Jordynne Grace. Like, God damn, it's like, we're just gonna carve some muscle, like, and I've seen her in, like, person, like, it's like that in person. I was like, damn, she can kick anybody's ass, but like, she did good. She's gonna be a superstar someday in WWE very soon, like, but yeah. And then you finally got a stare down with her. I think you got one with her and Becky Lynch. I know you got one, if I can remember, with her and Bianca Belair. And I love when they do those moments in the Rumble where they get, like, two people that have never faced off. But when they finally do, it's like, oh, I want to see that match. And then they don't get to do it, right? They face off and look at each other and kind of, like, circle each other. And they're about to go fight. And then other people come and break up and like, nah, you ain't getting this right now. You may get a little sometimes. There may be a little something, but then somebody will break them up. But like stuff like that, they want to tease it. And at the same time, I hate when they do that, but I love when they do that because it gets you hyped. It gets you thinking like, yeah, I want to see that match. I want to see Jade and Bianca Belair go at it. I see Becky Lynch and her go at it too. That would be nice. But, My other, give some flowers to is, wait, hold on, before I get to R-Truth coming out in the Women's Royal Rumble and being confused that, wait a minute, when he came out, I was like, what the fuck is he doing? And he came because, what was it, Valhalla came out, and then R-Truth music played, like she's doing her entrance. I'm like, what the fuck is R-Truth doing? I'm like, what are you doing? He gets in the ring. He's looking around. He's confused. As soon as I saw him look around, it's like, bro, you in the wrong rumble. He's like, what? This? And then he gets eliminated. Adam Pearce comes out. I was like, what are you doing? He's like, this ain't the Men's Royal Rumble. No. And then Valhalla gets mad. She's like, the fuck are you doing? She gets in the ring. She gets eliminated. I felt bad for her. I was like, damn, that's fucked up. And then she gets mad. Fucking R-Truth, then they gotta get him back to the back because he's about to get his ass beat by Valhalla. I'm like, that was a great one. That was one of those moments where it's just funny. And I like R-Truth's great, so that was dope. But before I get into some more of this Royal Rumble, right, I gotta say, like, having Pat McAfee come back and be on the commentary for the Rumble, oh my god, that was all night, fucking gold all fucking night. with McAfee, Cole, and Graves. Oh my God. They had me fucking rolling the entire night. It was just, it was gold. Like, there was one point where Selena Vega came out and she had like these, she had this angel wing type of wings on, something like that. It was real big. And Cole's like, oh, she's got the angel wings on. He said something along those lines. And then McAfee just hit a zinger back. He's like, yeah, what's it, Cole? You got the same outfit at home? And it was the way he said it just had me, I was dying laughing. I was like, oh my God, I need to stop because I'm dead. I'm so fucking dead with their commentary on the fucking women's. Just all night. All night. It was just like, bam, 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 bam. I was like, bro, I'm dead. I'm done. I'm like on the couch just dying laughing. But like, it's not, yeah, so they were great on commentary team. And then Chelsea Green, I mean, she was over there working, selling her ass off. And it was funny too, and you felt bad for her because her and her partner were in there, Piper Nevin, their tag team, they're in there. Chelsea kept getting beat up. And she kept getting hit by her own partner multiple times. It was like a stretch of like, it seemed like forever. It seemed like a couple minutes. Now here's Chelsea Green all getting squished in the corner by her own partner. Getting squished between like her and Nia Jax. Piper and Nia Jax. I'm like, she gets a senton from her own partner. I'm like, oh my gosh, she's just getting beat the fuck up. And then at one point, she got squished right in the middle of the ring. And McAfee, just said, somebody needs to check on Chelsea Green. She's looking like a Weekend at Bernie's. I lost my shit. I lost my fucking shit. When he mentioned Weekend at Bernie's, I'm sitting there watching Chelsea Green. And she's like, I can't do it because I'm sitting down right now. But she's like selling like they're holding up Bernie in the Weekend at Bernie's and she's like this, and then she just falls down. I'm like, he's like, somebody needs to check on her. She's like a Weekend at Bernie's. I lost my fucking shit. But fucking props to Chelsea Green, man. That was a great performance by her. Like, I enjoyed every bit of that, man. Can we get a clap in here for Chelsea Green? Man, just get another round of applause. Right there. Another round of applause for Chelsea Green. I very much enjoyed the performance of the Rumble. Give her fucking flowers. That was great. And then the commentary team, we'll give them a round of applause too. It's true. They're one-liners doing the Women's Royal Rumble. I enjoyed every bit of it, man. But like just finishing up on the Women's Royal Rumble, you know, we get to the last three. We got, what was it? Jade, Liv, and Bayley. And I must say, I enjoyed the way they finished it, where they're all three on the apron, and then Bayley's able to knock both. Was it? Did Jade eventually got Liv off, and then Becky got Jade off from anyone? But the finish was great on the apron. Bayley gets the dub, gets to go to WrestleMania. She's very much. I was happy that she won it. But per se, I didn't have like a particular person I wanted to win the Women's Royal Rumble, but Bayley, yeah, I haven't met her, but I've seen her. She's always seemed like the nicest person. I mean, in passing, walking by, doing extra work at WWE, she's nice. She says hi, and that goes with like a lot of the people that I've, a lot of the wrestlers and workers in WWE. I've done extra work before, and I've seen them backstage. They're all cool people. They say hello. Some will come in, shake your hand, and introduce themselves. But like, yeah, but I'm happy Bayley won. That was a good pick to win the Royal Rumble. She very much deserves that. And I hope she goes to WrestleMania and gets that championship. Because I do like this version of Bayley. That's like a heel compared to when she was like the Bayley in NXT. And then when she got to the main roster, she was like hugging, like give hugs, and she's all happy go lucky. But I like heel Bayley. Heel Bayley's nice. I like that. I like heel Bayley a lot. So congratulations to Bayley for women winning the Women's Royal Rumble and getting that title shot at WrestleMania. You very much deserved it. So we moving on. Like I said, the match of the night, I think, was the Women's Royal Rumble. This is my opinion. But moving on to the Fatal 4-Way, Orton, LA Knight, AJ Styles, Roman Reigns, the WWE Undisputed Champ, Universal Champion. It was expected of how it went. There are some great spots. I mean, the best spot of the night is when Orton's RKOing everybody and then Roman goes for a Superman punch, RKOs him in the middle of the Superman punch, and then that's where we get the Solo pulling out the ref. Because I'll be honest, if you watch a Roman Reigns match now, you kind of expect somebody to get involved. But when Orton hit that RKO on him, and I was like, okay, something's going to happen right here. Ref was one. Two, I was expecting somebody else to, jump on, break up the pin. But then I saw the referee, the count didn't finish. So I was like, okay, there it was. But if you really think about it, you expect that to happen because it's happened in most of all his matches for the title matches he's had. But Roman Reigns has had in the last, I don't even know how many years, 3 years or something like that. I'm here for the Roman Reigns title run. I'm here for it. I like it. And people may not like it, but I think it adds more prestige to the title. Nobody can beat this man. Somebody beat this man. Somebody take the championship off of him. I'm tired of, no, I don't want to hear excuses that somebody keeps interfering. How about you be smart and have a backup plan? Maybe have somebody have your back. How about that? How about we being smart? But I'm tired of people here complaining. That's the same old. Hey, listen, to beat a man, you got to beat the man, right? Yeah, I get this is scripted, but I'm just like, if you're going to let yourself get lost and invested in this shit, right? How can you not say that title run's not great? The man's held the title for a long ass over 1,000-something days. People may say, he's devaluing. No, you're not devaluing the championship. Because when somebody finally takes the championship belt off of him, they get elevated, right? Am I right? This is long-term booking, right? This is what you asked for. I just don't want to see title reigns that last 2 months and then change hand and, that's 6 months and, maybe just go a year and then they change. No, I want to see long-ass title reigns. If you make it interesting with the whole bloodline, it made the whole shit interesting, right? Am I wrong? It didn't start with as the bloodline. It started him running, and then we got to the bloodline. They kept it fresh. They kept it interesting. This is long term booking, right? This is what people ask for, but then they get in and they fucking complain because they got the attention span of a fucking baby. I'm sorry to be going off on people, but who cares? Oh, you can't win a match without help. What does that even fucking matter? You do what you got to do to win. You do what you got to do to keep the championship. Am I right? Am I right? In wrestling, in a fight, you got to do what you got to do to win. Hey, what do they always say? You ain't trying if you ain't cheating if you ain't trying. Or what is that saying? You ain't cheating if you ain't trying. You ain't trying if you ain't cheating. Something like that. You know what it is. Everybody want to fucking complain about Roman Reigns' title run. Get the fuck out of here, man. If you don't like it, don't fucking watch. But you watch because you want to see him get defeated, right? He's the villain. He's the heel, right? Yeah, he's had a long title reign, but the time ain't been right. I'm all for long-ass title reigns, especially you build somebody up that can just take it off of him and then it elevates that person. When Roman loses the title, he could literally retire from wrestling, be a WWE Hall of Famer, and just be like, what else do I have to accomplish? I mean, yeah, I'll get on that later, but you know what I'm saying. But, the match, so I don't have a problem with, the run-ins. He's the head of the table. He's doing what he has to do to keep his championship. Isn't that what you do as a champion? Do what you got to do, right? So, like, people complain about that, but the match itself, like, it was great. The way it started, I enjoyed, you know, with the them all forced in each other, like, okay. And then they all, the other three stare at Roman Reigns, who's in the corner. Roman's looking like, nah, y'all ain't about to do this shit. He tries to get out. They just beat him, you know. You know, usually when you get a four-way, you get, like, these two attacking each other. Maybe those two spill out, and then you got these two in the ring. You know, you just got to find different ways to do four-ways. You can't just have, like, two people in at a time, two people powdered out. Now this person comes in, this person powders out. Let's make it. At least, like, if you have two on the ground, at least have them fighting and not just, like, on the ground waiting for their spot to come in. Like, find it where you can involve three people, all four, three of the four. Not just like, oh, we're doing this too, unless you have two in the ring fighting and two outside the ring fighting. But if you got like, maybe you got keep three in the ring, you're fighting back and forth, one powdered out, and he comes back in, takes out all three, something like that. Like, there's just different ways, and that's why I enjoyed this Fatal 4-Way, because it's doing it different ways, not just the basic way. I mean, at this level, you expect that, but you've seen some Fatal 4-Ways where it's like, oh, we're doing this powder out thing, like we've seen that before. But I enjoyed this match, and then we finally, but then we get towards the end where Solo's trying to take, I want to say it was LA Knight through the barricade, and at one point, Roman had LA Knight and Orton stacked on top of each other. It was going to go for the pin. And he kind of looks over and sees Solo's passed out. AJ comes in, hits a phenomenal forearm. Boom. Stacks him on top of the other two. And really, Roman didn't kick out. It was the other two because they had been laying there for a minute, having time to recover. But eventually, do some stuff. Eventually, we get to the end. LA Knight's going for his finisher on Roman. Roman pushes him into the ropes because AJ's about to jump up and do another springboard. AJ eats shit, falls into the ring. I think, yeah, LA Knight powders. Roman spearing AJ Styles, 1, 2, 3. Still a champ. He's going to WrestleMania. Face the winner of the Men's Royal Rumble. So, like, yeah, I enjoyed the match. I thought it was good. I have no problem with the heel doing that. Like, I have no problem with the interference, because I mean, really, if you think about it, it's like that interference didn't help him win the match. It helped him not lose in that moment, but there are plenty of other opportunities for him to lose. It's not like Solo did something else after that. It was like he pulled the ref out. He took out LA Knight. LA Knight moved. Solo was out the rest of the match after that. So what's the excuse? They want to sit here, oh, he had Solo's help. Did he have his help the rest of the match after that? It wasn't like Solo took out LA Knight. Something else happened where AJ hits a forearm and then Solo comes in and breaks the pin up. No. So you sit here and complain that he had help to win. He had help not to lose. In that particular moment, when he got hit with RKO, well, the rest of the match. Yeah, think. Now, if you think this is a real fight, you let yourself get lost, and you're thinking this is not a pro wrestling match, it's a fight. What about the rest of the match, where Solo was out cold? Roman won. You say he can't win on his own, but he did. He did, kind of. If you really think about it, he really won on his own. I'm not just saying shit to say shit. Solo was knocked out after the phenomenal forearm. Solo's gone. Like, he tried to take out LA Knight. He gone. He went through the barricade like a bat out of fucking hell. Right? Am I right? I know I'm screaming. I feel like I'm talking real loud. So I'm sick of people complaining that he can't do it on his own. Okay, Solo's out. AJ hits phenomenal forearm. Stacks all three of them. They all kick out. I don't think Roman kicked out. I think it was more of LA Knight and Randy Orton kicking out more than anything. But what happened? Like, Solo's still out. He didn't come back in. Am I right? LA Knight goes for the finisher. Gets pushed in the ropes. AJ eats shit, trying to do another springboard. Trying to do another phenomenal forearm. Hits the spear. 1, 2, 3. There was nobody right there in that moment of time helping him. He reversed LA Knight's finisher. Saw AJ Styles on the top. Boom. Boom. 1, 2, 3. So we sit here and complain that he can't do it on his own. But he finished the match. When there was plenty of opportunities for the other three guys after Solo laid himself out, basically. What happened after that? Where was the other ample opportunities for Orton, AJ, or LA Knight to win that match? If you're looking at it that point of view. If you're just looking at it like this is a real fight, it's not scripted, where was their ample opportunity that they could have won? They didn't. Roman Reigns won. You know why? Because he's a champ. He's been the champ for a fucking long time, all right? So you just got to give him his credit, give him his due, and just stop saying he can't win a match on his own. If you really, technically, he won that match on his own. Yeah, he had the one moment where ref got pulled, kept him from losing. But what about the rest of the match? That's all I'm saying. What about the rest of the match? Tell me, am I missing something? Because I don't remember seeing Paul Heyman get involved at all. He's out there talking, helping. Come on, Roman! Come on! I don't see him getting involved. I saw Solo get involved once. I didn't see who's come out. I didn't see nobody else come out after Solo Skull basically took himself out through the barricade. What's your excuse now? Just give him his due. Just give him his credit. It's a great championship run. I've enjoyed every minute of it that I've got to see it. Be happy. Be happy. You complain and complain that there's no long-term booking and championship's a joke. No, he's brought prestige to the championship. Get the fuck out of here with that shit. So, yeah. But off my soapbox, I enjoyed that. Congrats to Roman Reigns on continuing the tribal chief. The tribal chief. Yes, we'll give him his due. He's going on to WrestleMania's. The current reigning, defending, undisputed WWE Universal Champion. So, yeah. Very much enjoyed that. Now we move on. Got two more to talk about. The United States title match between KO, Kevin Owens, and Logan Paul. And I must just say this. Logan Paul is really good. And he improves every time. Every time. He's getting better. And if you can't say that Logan Paul is here for this shit and is about this shit and is getting better and is good, you're just a fucking hater and you're jealous. That's all I have to say. If you can't just sit here, I understand that some wrestling fans, some people just don't like seeing some outsider come in and do this and not take it serious. No, Logan Paul takes this shit serious. He's putting in work. He's going on the road, he's wrestling these matches. He's putting his body. He does some very high spotty shit that caused some serious injury. But he's out there giving it his all, and he's passionate about it. We gotta stop doing this thing where we get outsiders coming into wrestling like this, and people just nah, fuck that guy, you know, fuck that person, fuck that girl, whatever the case may be. They ain't about it, no. And they show you they about it, and they still getting hate like. I get that he's a heel and you give him that type of hate, but people still saying, no, Logan Paul, no, we don't need him. Bro's good. He's athletic. And he's a great fucking heel, and he's just getting better each time. And he's putting on bangers. If you can't see that, then I just don't know what the fuck's wrong with you. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with you. I'm just saying, like, and I get, like, he may not be your type of kid, you know, your cup of tea. I'm not saying, like, you guys lying. I just say, just give him his due. Give him his credit. He's here. He's about that shit. He loves this shit. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying, like, you gotta like him like that. Like, I mean, everybody's got their personal preference of who they like. But to sit here and say, like, he ain't about it is nonsense. Just nonsense. But on to the match with him and KO. Like I said, I had told you, I hadn't been, like, just watching wrestling on a regular like that. I just keep tabs on Twitter, see some highlights, and just keep trying to keep up with the storyline. So But I didn't know much about the storyline here until they start showing me the video package before the match. The video package of the Rumble before the match. When I was watching that, I was getting hyped. I was like, yeah, this is how you build a match. Yes. Yes. I'm watching the video package. I'm like, I'm hyped for this match. This is going to be good. Because you know Kevin Owens. He cook in the ring. He cook. He put on bangers. He can put on bangers, man. Kevin Owens just... Man, does he get the credit he deserves? I don't know. Man, Kevin Owens, he puts on bangers. Just give that man his flowers, man. There's a lot of people, but I'm just talking about him in general right now. I'm not going to go through and who we need to give our flowers to. I'm talking about this match. I'd give Kevin Owens his flowers. He'll be a WWE Hall of Famer. He's been wrestling for, it seems like, forever. But he'll be a WWE Hall of Famer someday. But give that man his flowers, man. He puts on bangers. And he works with anybody. This is great. But, like, the match, like, the build-up to the match for the whole thing of with Logan Paul having, you know, the hand that has the metal in it, and he can knock anybody out, right? You know, you hit him with that right hand, they gone, right? And then the whole build-up with the match, and, like, he got Kevin Owens on one of the video packages I saw. Like, he got Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens got up. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm ready for this match. You know, they just built it up in that way. And so, like I like that, though. When they build up a match like that, you know, going in this match, like, if Logan Paul hits that right, it could be over. He could get that pinfall. And so they build that up through the whole entire match, right? Right? And they do their thing. Like, they go in there and they're banging. They're on fire, right? Eventually, we get to the point of the match. Hits him. Logan Paul hits him with the right. Knocks him to the ground. One, two, kick. Oh, fuck. He kicks out. He's like, you ain't gonna knock me the fuck out, right? So then, like, Logan's like, oh, what the fuck do I need to do? Eventually, he got, it was Austin Theory come in, slide him some brass knucks, puts him on. I'm like, I don't know what was really gonna happen at this point. Like, I'm fearing, like, no, KO's gonna duck and hit him with, like, a pop-up powerbomb or some shit. Maybe a stunner. Swings, boom, misses, takes the brunks off. I'm like, ah, boom. I saw him go like this, like, after, like, KO hit Logan Paul with the brass knuckles. I saw him go like this. I thought he'd do him out the ring. But then the ref counts. He's holding the leg. He's at the leg. The ref's count one, two. The ref stops. I'm like, why the ref just stop? And he pointed. I was like, oh, he still got the brass knucks on. I was like, oh, my God, that's brilliant. That was fucking, oh my God, I fucking enjoyed that finish. That was the best finish of the night. I think just the way they did it. Like I said, I think the best overall match was the Women Royal Rumble. If I had to go two, I'd say KO versus Logan Paul. But like, just in terms of the finish, I think that was the best finish of the night. Was the ref catching KO with the knuckles on while he's in the pinfall cover, and the ref stops right before he hits three and looks and points and says, you got, no, ring the bell. I love it. Now, I like that type of thing, right? And I know, like, there's been times, like, where the whole, like, you might see it, the Eddie Guerrero spot, ready, the ref is, like, maybe been bumped, but not, like, he got knocked out. Maybe he got squished in the corner or something. Something happened along that line where he's, like, kind of on the knee and kind of, like, shaking his cobwebs out. And you've seen Eddie Guerrero, like, boom, hit the chair on the mat, throw it to his opponent. His opponent catches it. Eddie hits the ground. Ref turns around. He hears it. Ref turns around, sees Eddie on the ground, sees the opponent with the chair, rings the bell. Like, I'm all here for that. Like, if the ref sees, here, like, I heard it. I didn't see it. I turned around. You have a chair in your hand. You're down on the ground. DQ'd. And like, what? No, I didn't use the chair. No, no. See, I'm all here for that. I've seen that spot done before, too. Not with Eddie Guerrero. But I've seen it done to where it's like, the ref just takes the chair away and doesn't DQ them. And like, I get that, but at the same time, like, if I hear it and I turn around and your opponent's on the ground, you got a weapon in your hand, I'm going to assume you used it because I heard it, especially a chair, because it makes loud fucking noise. Like, it could be different, like, with brass knucks, because you kind of hide those if you don't forget to take them off your fucking wrist, off of your fucking hands. But with, like, a chair or a kendo stick or something along that line, like, you can hear. But I turn around, they're on the ground, you got it in your hand. Yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, I fucking heard it, and he's on the ground, you got that in your hand, you're DQ'd, right? So I'm all here for that. Like, yeah, and that's one of those things, like, you can't hear somebody get knocked out with brass knucks, right? Because they don't make any noise, so you got to hide them. That's why every time you see somebody use brass knucks, boom, they take it off, put it back in their tights, and they start out of the ring, hide the evidence, right? When I was watching, I saw him slide it, because I saw his hand go like that. So I thought he tossed it out of the ring. I was like, okay, I'm KO about to be the new United States champion. But then the ref stops and points, and I'm like, this motherfucker still got the. Ah! I was all here for it. I was like, yeah, that's the type of thing like you can't hear, but if you see the brass knucks mid pinfall count, I'm like. One, two, on. No. He's ring the bell. Like, you still got the evidence. You got to hide the evidence, right? You got to hide the evidence in wrestling. That's all I'm saying. But that, I think that was, like, the best finish of the night, and I enjoyed every bit of it. So, yeah, that was probably if I had to go, I'm at the Women's Royal Rumble. I'm at KO versus Logan Paul. I'd probably go Fatal 4-Way and then the men's. Not saying the men's wasn't good. It's just like, that's just how I have it ranked. Women's KO versus Logan Paul. The Fatal 4-Way and then the men's Royal Rumble. So, yes, but that was the best finish of the night. The best finish of the night, that part, because that can set up something at WrestleMania. Like, you can set up a gimmick match where it's like, okay. Well, you had the brass knucks, you tried to use them, I used them, I got caught, cool. You know what? You think you can knock me out? How about we just last man standing? That's a perfect match. That is a fucking perfect match to give them a rematch, to keep that story going. Let's have a last man standing match at WrestleMania. That's all I'm saying. Have KO, Logan Paul, United States Championship match, WrestleMania, last man standing. End it right there, move on to a different story to tell. Or if you want to keep it going, maybe they both knock each other out. Whatever the case may be, that match needs to happen. With the whole Logan Paul having his fucking hand of steel that can knock motherfuckers out. And KO, Kevin Owens, initials being KO. It just makes all the sense in the world. It's like the planets aligning. It's just like something aligning together. Am I right? But yeah, a great finish. I enjoyed every bit of it. We're going to get to this last thing, and then I want to end it with a... Something that happened last Friday at SmackDown, if you know what I mean. People's champion. But on to the Men's Royal Rumble. Now, in the Men's Royal Rumble, there wasn't really any, per se, I say, any surprises. I think maybe the biggest surprise was, you know, Andrade coming back to WWE and looking like a beast. But other than that, I mean... It was CM Punk's first pay-per-view back in like fucking years. I mean, it got a great reaction. But overall, like, there wasn't anything that like stood out from the Royal Rumble. Like, you had Kofi Kingston, you thinking at one point, like, oh, he's gonna have something where he gets eliminated, thrown over the top rope. But somehow manages not to hit the floor and then finds some clever way back in. You know, we didn't get that. And then I think one of my moments, I take that back. There was a moment. Pat McAfee. He's sitting there doing commentary. At one point, Omos comes in. I'm telling you, like, Omos is fucking tall, big. He's real tall, big, big, big dude. I've seen him in person before. That man's a Oh, I've walked by him before. And I was tall, tall human being. But like, yeah, he was out there, and then like, they're talking about commentary. They're talking about how big this man is, and I think he was going against Bronson Reed, you know. And then at one point, next entrance comes. I think right now in the ring is Omos and Bron Breakker. And Bron Breakker's a beast, by the way. He's good. I like him as a heel. But those two are like kind of facing off in the ring. Pat McAfee's music hits. I don't know. To me, it looked like he was genuinely shocked that he was in the Royal Rumble. But then he gets in the Rumble. He takes off his headset. He goes, walks up the steps, up to the apron, right? This man gets on the top, kind of jumps in, looks at Omos, looks at Bron Breakker. And I think it was Bron Breakker. It might have been somebody else. I know it was Omos. I know that for a fact. He looks at the two. He decides, yeah, I'm going to just go back out. He like climbs over the top, gets back down, act like he's going to go back and just eliminate himself, and then jumps back in the ring. And it looks at him, and they look at him like, and he's like, no. Gets out, jumps down to the floor, eliminates himself, gets back to the commentary team, and he's like, why did y'all let me do that? And he's like, those two are the biggest motherfuckers I've ever seen in my life. He didn't say motherfuckers, but that's how it sounded if he was able to cuss. He's like, them two, they were so big, why did you let me do that? I'm telling you, commentary team was on fire all fucking night, man. I didn't fuck the commentary, but that shit was funny. That had me rolling. I was like, the way he jumped in the ring, looked at him, jumped back out, act like he was leaving, and then try to jump back in to try to throw him off. And then he looks at him like, no. Gets back on commentary and is like, why the fuck did y'all let me do this? Do you know how big those two are? Hell no. He knew exactly the second time he went back in there. He's like, I'm good. I'm gonna go save myself. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, it was Bron Breakker and Omos, because Bron came in at 20, Omos was 21, and McAfee 22. He goes in there and is like, yeah, I'm gonna head on out. But like, other than that, there wasn't any like I'm not saying like spot. I'm just saying it was good, because I always enjoy. I take that back. There was another spot. It was, like I said, like, there wasn't no more, like, surprise appearance. But when we got down, who was the final four, wasn't it? The final four was Drew, Punk, Cody, and, what is it? Gunther, right? Because, because Cody came in at 15, Gunther came in at 18, Drew came in at 29, and CM Punk came in at 27. Yeah, so this was my other, when we keep talking, and now it registers with me. But the other spot I enjoyed, it was painful to watch, because I know how it feels, is when Gunther and Drew, I want to say Drew had Cody, Gunther had Punk. It doesn't matter. They went on a chop-off against, using Cody and CM Punk as they're chopping people. They just went at it. I was like, oh my God, this was so brutal. I was like, why? Why you hit that man's chest like that? It was like Gunther. I think Gunther had CM Punk and Drew had Cody. Oh no, Gunther went, boom. Drew's like, watch this. Boom. I'm like, oh my God. Gunther went, you just heard that shit. The fucking just echo out the fucking sound. Drew's like, oh yeah, watch this. Gunther's like, and then they both just went out at the same time on their guy that they had and just chopping the shit out of him. I was like, oh my God, this hurts me. But it's like, if you've been in wrestling and you've been in wrestling training and you've been chopped before, that shit hurts. It stings. It stings. Like, oh, like, right, doing right that on myself, it stings. Got a little sting to it. You get it multiple times, like bam, bam, bam. And they bringing a hand back here. And them motherfuckers, Gunther and fucking Drew know how to throw some fucking chops. Imagine that motherfucking multiple times. That shit hurts. I mean, it's like, it hurts. Like, I've refereed in matches to where it's like, let me pull the curtain back a little bit. Just a little bit, not too much. But I've refereed in matches where I've heard, like, and this wasn't even part of, like, when they called the match, where, like, be in the corner, and the guy tells his opponent, hey, chop me again, about the third chop, he's like, no more, I'm done, no more, those hurt, I didn't expect you to be chopping that hard, but, like, they'd be like, chop me, boom, chop me again, chop me one more time, and then he'd be like, no more, because, like, when you get chopped, like, once, it's like, okay, two, three, no, especially if it's just like, especially if it's like three hard, good chops, like, you're like, no, I'm done, do something else, move on to something else, right, chops fucking hurt, I mean, I know it's just like hand slap, but it's got that sting, you know what I can compare to a chop to, stubby your toe in the fucking corner of, like, the doorway when you walk through, or that corner wall where you're walking, you just stub your toe, and it's like, God, shit, that hurts. That's how a chop feels. Now imagine stubbing your toe multiple fucking times. Like, boom, boom, it's like, God, it hurts. Please stop. Make it stop. But yeah, chops fucking hurt. But that spot, like, I was like, damn! And I got the surround sound on, so I could just hear it. I could hear the pain. I could feel it in my bones, because I felt it before, like, I felt it in training, getting shot. And then you just be backstage, and motherfuckers, like, sometimes, like, if you're cool with somebody, they'll come up and be like, ah! I'm like, why did you do that? Just messing around, like, I know some people that'll just, like, chop you, be like, what do you look, you know, if you're in the wrestling locker room, you know, sometimes we mess around with each other, and be like, do that chop thing, like, what's up? I'm like, God damn it, why do you do that? That hurt. It's all fun and games. I ain't mad about it, but, like, getting chopped just doesn't feel good. And doing that, what they're doing to Cody and CM Punk, I was like, damn. It was a great spot, though. I enjoyed every bit of watching it. But I could feel their pain. I could feel that. I felt it before. In real life. In training. So, yeah. But we got to that, I was like, oh, my God. I could feel it. I could feel it. Like, the sound came out of the speakers and into my chest of what I felt before when I've been chopped. It's like, oh, it hurts. It hurts. Chop. I mean, I don't know if wrestlers like being chopped. When somebody says, hey, give me a chop. I mean, at certain points, it looks good because you give them a chop. It's like, oh. And then when they go at it and be like, they chop each other back and forth, I'm like, why? Like, I know why, but I'm like, why? I'm in the ring and it just hurts me. I'm like selling with my face, like, oh my God. I'm like, I look concerned, like, your chest is... And then you get to the back, and be like, your chest looks fucked up. Like, that shit is red. It looks dark. They left a handprint on you. That's the fucking crazy shit. When you get, if I've been in a match and then get to the back after they had their match and they had a chop spot in there and there's a handprint on their fucking chest. I mean, that's just wild to me. I felt that shit when that hit you. You get to the back, it's like, you get to the back, you good? It's like, yeah, I'm good. It's like, your chest look, you got a handprint. You got, and it'd be multiple handprints. It'll just be one, like one right here. It'd be like this way. It'd be handprint this way. Back this way. Just be, you see all these fucking fingers and palms. I'm like, oh, I feel sorry for your chest. I really do. I really do, man. But yeah, that was another great, that was another spot I enjoyed in the Men's Royal Rumble, was Drew and Gunther chopping Cody and CM Punk. But eventually we get down to CM Punk and Cody Rhodes. I mean, you expected this. I mean, if you've been watching for the past year, you expected you expected this. So, but I was surprised how long they went when it finally got, can you just leave me alone, you stupid battery? I know you're low, but I'm almost done, battery. I got 8%. So make quick. But I was surprised how long they went after when it got to those two. Because usually sometimes they go a little bit and then we get to the elimination. I feel like they went like 10 minutes. They're like a 10-minute match. Which I'm not mad at. Like, hey, let's give it to them. Because really, they're not. Whoever wins is going to WrestleMania and face the champion. And more than likely, the other person is going to face the other champion. So let's get in here. Let's give them some moment. But I felt like at one point, like, I know, like, reading it, like, CM Punk got injured. I feel like at one point, it's like, there's one point where he's, like, laying down, like, hit a move. He was laying down. I was like, is he injured? Is he hurt? I was feeling like he may have been hurt. So you got to give props to CM Punk for finishing it and going as long as they did, because I thought he was, like, hurt early on when there was those final two. But I'm not going to lie. Like, I kind of want to see CM Punk to win. Like... whatever, that's just my personal preference. Like, nothing against Cody. Like, I've met him before. Great guy. Awesome dude. Like, he'll talk to all of us. I've done extra work with WWE, and I've been back there, and I've got to talk to a few of these people. Like I said, I've never had a problem with anybody. Like, everybody's, like, said hi, hello, whatever. Some will even come down and talk to you, which is fucking awesome. But, like I'm not a Cody fan like that. It is nothing against him. It's just like, I like Cody. I like what he does. Like, I was excited when he came back. Not last, but the year before in Dallas WrestleMania. I was at night one when he showed up. I was like, we're expecting it. It was dope. It was a dope moment. So, like I'm not like a Cody fan, like, all up in arms. Like, he needs to win the championship. Like, I'm not invested in the story like everybody else is, I guess, like that. So, like. But seriously, I wanted CM Punk to win, but I'm going to be honest, like, it didn't matter who won. Like, I mean, eventually, like, when CM Punk said, like, I'm not losing to Dusty Sun, like, oh, yeah, you losing. Like, as soon as CM Punk said that, I was like, yeah, he losing. And then Cody Rhodes wins, as expected. Like, you've been building him up all this time. Like, won last year, lost at WrestleMania, come back. I got to do this. He has to win the championship his dad never won. I get it. It's a story. But, we get to elimination. Cody wins. Like I said, I enjoyed the Royal Rumble as a whole. I don't have anything bad about it. Here's the thing. Here's how I watched the Rumble. And I don't think I've ever watched a wrestling show with this type of thought and mentality. I was just watching to watch. I didn't care who won, who lost. I was just watching to watch. And give me a good finish, right? Give me some good storytelling. I was watching the show, and I was invested. I just wanted to watch. I just wanted to see something good. And I did. I saw some great stuff. I saw great stuff. In my opinion. I was watching, but I had no, I should say, I had no investment on, like, somebody winning the Fatal 4-Way, winning the United States Championship, winning the Men's Royal Rumble. Like, I didn't care who won. I was just watching, like, I'm going to enjoy the Royal Rumble. I'm going to sit back, watch, see some good shit, see who's surprises, see what spots they got in the Rumble match, and just, I'm just going to sit back and enjoy it. And I felt, and I must say, it was different. Like, I wasn't, like, cheering anybody. I just wanted to see a good show, see some good wrestling, see some good spots in the Rumble matches. And I must say, like, I didn't have any expectations. I didn't care who won. I was just sitting back and enjoying it as a wrestling fan. I was invested. Like, they had me at certain points. But at the same time, I was invested. I was just invested in a different way. I just wanted to see a good show. I wanted to see some good storytelling. I wanted to see some dope spots in the Rumble. And I just wanted to see some good finishes and some good matches. I didn't care who won. That's how I was invested. I was invested in a different way. I wasn't invested in any of the characters. Not that I'm not usually. I don't not to say that I didn't like any of those characters. I just wanted to watch it and view it. Now that I think about it, I viewed it that way. And to be honest, it kind of made it more enjoyable. Like, I get you want to get behind something, behind somebody in a certain match, and like, you want them to win. Like, But you can still get like that. Like, even when you think, oh, I think this is it, and they get you, like, oh, I thought that was it right there. They had me on that one. At the same time, like, you can be that way without being like, oh, I want this person to win. I'm so bad. I want this person to win. It's like, oh, my God, why didn't they get win? But I was just watching it a different way. It's kind of like watching it. I put it this way. Like, it's kind of like watching a football game. Like, I'm a Chiefs fan. Like, most of the time, like, I don't like to watch other teams play unless it's a real good game. And I watch a game, like, with two good teams. Like, okay, I say I watch the Lions and the San Francisco 49ers. I didn't care who won. I just want to see a good game. I was invested that way. I just wanted to see a good game. Saw the Lions get up. Saw the 49ers come back, complete the comeback and won. I was like, that was a good game. I mean, yeah, the Lions should have won. I didn't care who won. No, I really didn't, because my team won. So I was like, I'm watching this game. I was like, that was a good game. That was a really good game, right? And then the week before, when the Lions, no, it wasn't Lions. It was the Green Bay and San Francisco. I watched that game. I didn't care who won. So we hear a little change of scenery. Had a little technical difficulties. I was recording. I got a most in, but then the power just shut off. So we hear finishing up the show. That's why you see a change of scenery and the different clothes on. But anyways, where I left off, I was talking about, like, watching the Royal Rumble and just watching it differently and not having a rooting interest of, and not mattering who's winning or losing and things like that. And I was compared to watching football games. Like, I think I was going to speak on, like, watching the 49ers and Green Bay in the divisional round, where I was like, yeah, none of those are my team, and I really didn't care who win. I just want to see a great game. So, you know, it's like one of those things where, you know, you're watching somebody that's not your favorite team or favorite person to watch. You just want to see a good game. And that's how I was viewing the Royal Rumble while I was watching it back in January, a few weeks ago. So I just wanted to see something good, and I really much enjoyed it. Like I said, I didn't have a rooting interest in any of the matches, but I was invested in them. You could still be invested in the matches and not have a rooting interest in who you want to win. I mean, it's a difference who you think is going to win than be like, I want this person to win, because you're invested in that person and hoping they win. Me, I was like, I'm not really invested in nobody. I just want to see a good match, good show. So that's how I take the Royal Rumble. So with that said, I just want to get off one more thing before we get out of here in this podcast. So in this week's episode. But last Friday night, if you're a pro wrestling fan, you know, The Rock showed up to SmackDown, right? Went in the ring when Cody and Roman were doing their thing. You know, I saw it on Twitter. I saw The Rock came out. It was on Twitter. But I was busy and I couldn't watch it live. But I went back and just watched some clips. But, Rock comes out. Tells basically Cody, like, I'm taking this. This is my match at WrestleMania. Peace out. Right? So, like, my thing is, bro, I don't even care, to be honest. Like I said, like, I'm a Rock guy. The Rock's my all-time favorite, so him doing that, I'm like, oh, I don't care. I mean, it don't hurt me. I mean, in that sense, like, I like Cody, but at the same time, it's like, it's The Rock. It's The Rock. Like, he's the biggest star in wrestling in Hollywood. Like, he's gonna do, I don't have a problem with it, if that's the thing. I saw Twitter, bro, losing their fucking minds over that. They losing their collective minds over The Rock taking Cody's spot, talking about he got to finish the story. Who said he got to finish at WrestleMania? Who said he got to finish the story against Roman Reigns? Why can't he win the other championship? That's all I'm saying. If we're talking about WrestleMania, the biggest show
it's their Super Bowl, right? You need star power. CM Punk got hurt, so you couldn't have that match with Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins is hurt, so you need star power. The Rock is star power. Am I crazy? Am I crazy about that? The Rock has some star power. I mean, you ask any casual fan. Just anybody. Go out there. Ask them. Tell you go. Ask them. Two questions. You know who The Rock is. Do you know who Cody Rhodes is? Guarantee you, more than 95% of those people that you ask. I'm talking about go ask non-wrestling fans. Just go ask a casual person. Don't know who The Rock is. They don't know who Cody Rhodes is. And that's not a slight at Cody saying he couldn't be a crossover star if he wanted to, and like if he got into movies. But right now, Cody is the big star in wrestling. The Rock's just the big star overall in the big picture. And that is what WrestleMania is. They need star power. They need people to come. And goddamn, mute the fucking TV, shit. Right? They need people to come in and bring eyeballs to WrestleMania. And when people see that, that's going to be covered by, you know, news medias that you usually don't cover wrestling. So, like, I don't have a problem with it, and, like, I mean, I get, like, you feel bad for Cody, like, put all in his work, you won back-to-back Mania, back-to-back Rumbles. I mean, you had your shot last year. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. I don't have a problem with it, but the internet is losing their fucking mind, and just the hate on The Rock is, it's wild out there. His daughter's getting death threats about it too. So this shit's wild. But I think the whole thing that's gonna happen is I think somehow he's going to get interjected into the match and make it a triple. It's gonna make it a triple threat. I think he'll have a match, maybe on like night one, maybe on night two early on in the show. But I think he'll have a match, and maybe against Shinsuke. Would be perfect, and then somehow he gets inserted, makes it a triple threat match, finishes the story, maybe pins The Rock. Not necessarily you pin Roman, and then The Rock and Roman can go do their own spinoff at Royal Rumble 1-on-1 for the head of the table and things like that. So, but yeah, it's we'll see. We'll see. What I would like, what I would be cool to see happen is he has a match, maybe on night one, night two, don't matter. Cody has a match. Eventually, when they get to the main event, which I'm assuming would be night two with The Rock and Roman, they do their entrances. They're about to start the match. Bell rings to start the match. Cody just comes up, socks fucking The Rock or Roman, whoever, it doesn't matter. Match is over in like 5 seconds, right? Call disqualification. Still champion, Roman Reigns. Nah, fuck that shit. What is it? Is it Nick Aldis is on SmackDown, right? The GM? He comes out and says, no, we're not doing this. So, this is how this is going to be. It's going to be The Rock, Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns, triple threat match, restart the match. That's how I envision that happening. Like, he faces Shinsuke on night two, like, to open the show. Gets beat up real bad, but he wins. Comes out, attacks them before, as soon as the match starts, to DQ it, and then forces the hand of the GM to turn it into a triple threat match. That's how I would do it. Just wait till the fucking, don't even set it up, like, don't even have it 2 weeks before that you interject that he's going to be in this match. Wait till fucking Mania happens to where he's like, I'm getting in this match one way or another. But you don't announce it. So when you do get to Mania, people are like, oh my God, he's in the match. Oh my God, it's a triple threat match. He's going to finish the story. That would be great. But there was one other thing. So like, before I get to this one last teeny thing, I don't have a problem with The Rock coming in and taking a spot, whatever. It is what it is. I get that Cody wants to finish the story, but nobody said he had to finish it now. Story can keep going. Long-term broken. But look at the internet. Look at how the fans are responding. It's kind of like that yes movement that started when Daniel Bryan got his shot and won the match with Triple H earlier in the night of WrestleMania and then got inserted because he won that match. So I think they're doing something like that. So we just have to see how it plays out. But one tiny other thing, like, we still have the Money in the Bank. And I may be wrong. I don't know if Damian Priest can cash in on either one of the champions, or he has to choose one depending on the brand he's on. But my thing would be is Cody wins at WrestleMania, celebrating, crying, confetti falling from the ceiling, right? Damian Priest comes out while he's celebrating, bashes him with the briefcase, hits a move, tells the ref, I'm cashing in. Ref checks on Cody. He's like, nah, ring. Damian's like, ring the bell, start the match. Hits his finishing move, boom. 1, 2, 3. Damian Priest, new champion, cashed in. The rest of the Judgment Day comes out, celebrates. Confetti still falling from the sky. That's like in Cody colors, like when it matches his like gear. Usually he has like that red and white type colors because he's the American Dream. So it's like I'm assuming red, white, and blue confetti because he has the red, white, and blue like colors on his gear sometimes. And so I'm like imagining that, and then he cashes in. He's celebrating over Cody's laid out body, and celebrating with the Judgment Day, and just walks out, and that's how we end WrestleMania. That would be dope, and then people would be all up in arms. But technically, Cody finished the story because he became champion. Now he didn't get a title run, but still, that the whole thing, you want him to finish the story and become champion. I'm just saying, let's throw that in there, let him cash in and get that moment. All right. But that is all I got. So I'll see everybody back here Saturday. Sorry for the technical difficulties, but we going to make this streamless in the edit room. You know, we just go whoop, 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 right there. You know what I'm saying? But follow me on the socials. I'd like to know, what was your opinion of the whole Royal Rumble? What was your favorite part of the Royal Rumble? What was your favorite moment, and what was your favorite match? You know, hit me up on my socials. Look for me, AK The Ref. I'm out here. You know, until next time, I'm out. Peace.